Okay, good.
Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians 4. Please take your Bible and turn to Ephesians 4. I'm going to read some scripture. We're going to pray, and then we're going to get busy looking at what our author has for you tonight. Paul writes, the author is Paul. I therefore, in verse number 1 of Ephesians chapter number 4, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, we want to talk about that, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Present tense versus past tense. We want to look at both of those ideas. Walking in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Then we have the preposition with all humility and gentleness, comma, with patience, comma, bearing with one another in love, comma, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Verse number 4, there is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, who is over all and through all and in all. And we'll stop there. Come, Lord Jesus. Come into this hot, sweaty room and permeate this place with your grace. Do the work that only you can do. We do not want to go through rote, ritual, religious exercise to somehow feel like we've had a spiritual event because we checked a block. Instead, God, we are praying that you would come to this very place, that you would permeate with your Spirit, that all of us in this room that are converted, are believers, legitimate, born again, authentic, genuine, sincere, blood-washed, born-again saints, would pray that the power of the Lord would come here to Camp Anchorage. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. We are reading a letter. We are reading a letter that was originally written by Paul to a church at Ephesus. Ephesus is a town in modern-day Turkey, Macedonia, Greece, that whole region over there. That's where we're reading a letter to, written by the Apostle Paul in the language Greek. It's been translated to us in English. So Paul wrote a letter 2,000 years ago, and he says that I, a prisoner of the what? Lord. Now Paul is a prisoner. Paul is in jail. Paul has been arrested. He is in chains. He is under arrest, in confinement. He is in bondage, not because he's a murderer, not because he's a drug dealer, not because of any of those things that we normally think of when people are in jail. Instead, he is in prison because he preaches the gospel. He believes in Jesus Christ. He is fully convinced that Jesus Christ is who he said he was. Now, let's remind ourselves tonight. Let's remind ourselves. He did not always believe that. He did not always believe that. He's not like you or me or one of those that grew up in church all the days of our life. That is not our Paul. Our Paul was a what? A Jew. He's a Pharisee. He hated Christians. He despised Christians. He went about killing Christians, arresting Christians, persecuting Christians. If Paul was Saul and we were here, he would bust into our assembly and do everything he could to interfere with the preaching of Jesus Christ. Until that day in which Paul is traveling on the road to, tell me, Damascus. And he gets a call. He gets a call, not a text, not a tweet, not an Instagram. He gets a call. He gets a call from heaven. A call from heaven. Now, I believe this with all my heart. I don't think that Paul's a liar. There's no reason to think that Paul is a liar. There's no reason. He did not become a millionaire. He did not become a landowner. He died in prison for what he believed. There's no reason to think that Paul was perpetrating a fraud. And he didn't have to sign a contract saying, I will be a Christian. I will do the following things. No, he's on the road to Damascus and he gets a call from the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, hey, you! Why are you persecuting me? How am I doing that? Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus. You're who? Jesus. The one that you don't believe in? The one that you don't believe was resurrected on the third day? I'm alive. I am the Son of God. I'm alive. And from that moment on, Paul is converted. He is radically transformed by the power. I mean, the gospel gets a hold of Paul, and he is now different. He's different. He's utterly changed. And his entire life from that point on is now dedicated to being a preacher. He preaches the gospel everywhere he goes. He plants churches everywhere he goes. His goal is to get you to believe that Jesus is the Christ. He wants you to see that you are a sinner. He wants you to embrace Christ as the only hope. And his goal in life is to get you converted. And he makes no bones about it. He wants to get you converted. He's not okay with you having another religion. He's not okay with that. He believes in one God, one baptism, one woman. He doesn't believe in a plurality. He is committed to one thing, one. And it's Jesus Christ. And it costs him his imprisonment. Ultimately, it'll cost him his life, but we're not there yet. So from prison, he's writing a letter to other believers in Ephesus, the city, that's Ephesians, and he's writing to them in an encouraging way. He's met them before. He knows them by name. He has led some of them to the Lord. He's preached to all of them. And now he's writing a letter to them. We are reading that letter beginning chapter number 4. But I would like us to go back and read the beginning of the letter for just a minute. So would you turn back just a page or two? You can do that, right? Help me out now. Let me see you turn back. Turn back. Yeah, pull your Bible back open. Go through the whole drill. Let's do it all together. Ephesians chapter number 1. Let's hear the words of Paul. What does this man believe? Blessed. Verse 3. Blessed. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Think about what Paul believes. He believes there is a God. He believes that God has a Son. He believes that there is a heaven. He believes that the God in heaven has the power to bless you. To bless you. To bless you. To bless your life. There's a God in heaven who lives in heaven, and he has the power to bless you. And Paul is praying that he will do that. He will bless you in Christ. That if you get in Christ and stay in Christ and abide in Christ, that you will be an object of God's blessing. Even, verse 4, as he has chose us in him before the foundation of the world. What a marvelous thought. Before you were even conceived, God knew you. Before you were even a thought in a mom and dad's idea, before mom and dad even met, before mom and dad were born, or their mom and dad were born, or their mom and dad were born, you were known by God. Even as he chose you in him before the foundation of the world, that we believers should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to become part of his family, adopted as his son and daughter through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. And all this is to the praise of his glorious grace. Let's stop right there and talk about that very idea. If you have a misperception, if you think that Christianity is like all other religions, if you've convinced yourself that Christianity is like every other religion, and all we're trying to do is them and us and those and Buddhists and Hindu and Muslims and Christians and Jews, we're all just trying to live a good life. If you live a good life, give a little good life, and if I really live a good life, then God will say, you live a good life, come on in. No, not so much. And we all believe that we're going to just try the best to live a good life, and then he says, come on, because you lived a good life. If that's your idea about Christianity, you're wrong. You're completely wrong. You cannot be any more wrong. In fact, Christianity is so opposite of that, we can't even think of it. We do not do good things because we are trying to please God, to earn our salvation. Our salvation, our inheritance, our heavenly reward, our forgiveness of sins was secured before we ever even were conceived. None. It's not measure up, do a good job, measure up, and hopefully I measure up high enough. And if I measure just a little bit better than my neighbor, then I make it and he doesn't. No. Instead, God said, I am going to redeem a people unto myself. And that people is going to have male and female. It's going to have every ethnicity. It's going to have blacks and whites and Polish and African Americans and Indians and every single ethnicity on the planet. And they are all going to be redeemed to become part of my family. And I am going to choose them before the foundation of the world. And all this is going to be a demonstration of my glorious grace. Let's continue in verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will. And boy, I appreciate you listening, because I know it's crazy hot in here. I know it is. And normally, lots of times, it's so cold you have to wear sweatshirts. Not this year, for some reason. It's different. I'm sorry. According to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. Now run over to chapter 4 for me, please. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of your calling to which you have been called. Now that's a unique idea, and we want to really unpack that idea right there. So we have this, let's pick these chairs by way of illustration, and let's help them to help us illustrate these ideas. Because Paul's using two words, he's used called and calling. He says, I am urging you to walk worthy of your calling, present tense, by which you have been called. Talking about that unique and supernatural day in which God called you into a relationship with himself. Called you into a relationship with himself. There was a day and time in which I did not know God. I was alienated from him. I was separated from him. I was lost. Mr. Roth, I'd have died before that day. I would have went to hell. I didn't know God. Mr. Wizard, do you remember that day? Before when you... There's a day, there's a time, there's a place, there's a location, there's an event in which God makes himself known to you. For Paul, it was on the road to Damascus. Paul, on the road to Damascus, got the call. Let me try to illustrate this way. Imagine for just a moment that we create in this school a club. I mean, this is like a cool kids club. You can call it that, but I'm lame, I'm old, I can't come up with a good name. But for the sake of my old lameness, we'll call it the Cool Kids Club. K-C-K. No, who are we? Right, I put a K in there. Where did the K come from? Cool is with a K or a C?
Kids.
C, like CCC. That would be the Cool Kids Club. No, there's a K. It's kids. I'm just chewed up, aren't I? Wow. Hassan, can we get back to the idea? You ready? All right. Listen. We got this club. And in order to get into the club, you got to get a call. somebody from the club has to call you. Now, you know this thing is kind of cool, you know, we're like bad, which is good, and, you know, we're hot, which is cool, and you know how they call that, right? No? Am I using the wrong word? What's the right word for cool?
Lit.
But you can't just volunteer, you can't just join, you can't just show up. We have special meetings and secret gatherings, and we know who's in the club, but no one else knows who is in the club because we don't reveal it at school because we are a special group within the school. It's our Cool Kids Club, CKC. Okay? You have to get a call. You have to get a call on the phone. So every night you go home and you wait for the call. And every night you go to bed realizing you didn't get the call. And you sure hope that tomorrow you get the call because you know this thing's out there and you know it's kind of cool. It's Liddy. And because it's legitimately lit. Because it is, you want in. But you can't just join. You have to get a call. Tracker, are you drawing back there or are you taking notes? What are you doing? Both?
It helps me concentrate.
Okay, all right. I'm okay with that as long as you're following along with the... It's CKC, right?
We call it CKC.
Okay. That when this... calling event occurred. I'm sitting in the seat of call, not that seat there, right? I'm sitting in the seat of call. That God from heaven, through the Holy Spirit, speaks into my heart and says, this is real, believe it. This is real, believe it. If this is true, believe it. This is genuine. Believe it. And who can tell me in John chapter 3 what Jesus calls this event that I just described? Think before you answer. Jesus tells Nicodemus in John chapter 3 what this event is called. What is it, Madison?
Born again.
It's called born again. It's called born again. Jesus told Nicodemus that you must be born again. You've got to be born again, Nicodemus. You've been born one time of your mom. Water, but you got to be born again. If you want to see the kingdom of God, if you want to see eternal life, you have to be born again. And he says, how can I be born again? How can I go back in my mother's womb? To which Jesus says, no, this is an act of the Spirit of God. This is a spiritual birth. So God in heaven, through the Holy Spirit, speaks into your life, into your ear, into your mind, into your heart. Some point in your life, I has a date. Mr. Rusey has a date. The farmer has a date. I didn't believe it. Now I do. Paul says that that's called call. Call. So who does it? God. Through whom? The Holy Spirit. Into my ear, into my mind, into my heart. And when that calling event occurs, I'm called, I believe. And now, I'm part of the call. I'm part of the call. I got the call. I go to school the next day, and I'm just going to walk around because I got the call. I got the call. I mean, last night, I got the fugitives. I got the call. I went to the secret meeting, and now who knows? I know who's in and you're not, so I'm in and you're not, and now I'm part of that. Wait a minute.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Wait, it's not the same. Stop, stop, it's not the same. Wait, it's not the same. Hold on, it's not. No, we have to stop. We have to hold. Because that calling would be by another human being, and it would just puff me up, wouldn't it? Because I'd walk around the next day of school going, and I know I got the call. Either because of my athletic ability, or because of the way I dress well, or because of my good haircut, or because of my personality, or my humor. But somebody saw something in me, and it caused me to say, we want you in the club, and so I got the call. Wait a minute, what's different? Somebody, come on, students, somebody tell me, where am I going wrong? Somebody out in the mask and tell me, what's different?
Nothing matters when you call. When they call you, it matters.
When God calls, you got to unpack that a little bit more, Sam, right?
Yes, sir.
You got to unpack that a little bit more. What word did we hear from Paul that talked about the difference about why I got the call? What word did he use to describe calling me? It was
chosen.
Predestined.
Chose.
Predestined.
Come on, help me out. There's another word. We're looking for another word. It was by his what? By his
will.
It's his will, yeah, and it's manifested in something called grace. And we have to talk about this. This is very important. Can I think for a moment? We're totally wrong. Okay, we're totally wrong if we think for even a moment, Stephen, that God was looking from heaven and said, look at that good Sean down there. I mean, man, he's righteous. And he keeps the law well, and he does what he's told, and he's intelligent. Let's call him. Let's call him. No, it's just the opposite, Mr. Allen. It's utterly just the opposite. It's this. Listen to me. I really need you to see this. It's this. You called me? You called me? Me? Wait a minute. I didn't deserve to be called. How did I get called? Lord, you called me? Why? I was a rebel. I'm not a good person. I didn't deserve the call. Think about my own testimony. Listen to me, please. My own testimony. Listen to me. I know what divorce is all about. My dad divorced 3 times. I know what it's all about. I've been there. I know what it's about. I've seen the worst of fights. I know how bad your life is. I lived it. I was put on an airplane at 4 years old to fly back to live with my grandma and grandpa, Ola and Opa, because my mom and dad couldn't get along well enough to have me in the house. So a 4-year-old was put on a plane from San Diego to Boston by himself. I flew from San Diego to... Can you imagine putting one of your 4-year-olds on a plane by themselves? San Diego to Boston. Can you imagine this Mary putting one of your 3 children on a plane? Bye-bye. And they just take off. Have you entrusted one of your children to a steward? Farmers, are you in here?
I'm here.
Yeah, what do you think about that? No, that's me. I'm flying. Oma and Opa pick me up, and my mom and dad are just alienated, fighting, and, you know, just fighting, man. You see this? Fighting. Adultery. Mess. So I go to live with my dad. I go to live with my dad. My brother goes to live with his mom. We're separated. Brother with dad. Other brother with mom. Scott's his name. My dad moves us away from Boston so that my mom can't find us. When he can't get away from her from in Boston, outside of the city, we move to West Virginia. We move to a 40-acre farm in West Virginia. A 40-acre farm in West Virginia. There's no running water. We don't have an indoor toilet. We have an outhouse. Have you ever went to the... No, we're just using it. You have a kid? An outhouse? No. It's It's a wooden seat. It's a hole. And it just drops. It's awkward time. If there's too much water in there, it splashes back up on you. That's really nasty. Yeah. And that's where we live. Hold on. I'm not done with my story. Stay with me, please. My dad started working as a carpenter's helper. And he was working for a carpenter. And the carpenter was crazy about Jesus. He couldn't stop talking about Jesus. He'd been converted. And he was talking about Jesus and talking about Jesus and inviting my dad to church and inviting my dad to church. And my dad wanted nothing to do with God, nothing to do with Jesus, nothing to do with church. He'd grown up in an Episcopalian church. He'd met a German Roman Catholic. That was my mom. I was christened as a little baby to fulfill the religious check-the-block exercise. And I wasn't growing up in no home where God was anything. You know what I'm saying? Tracking? Are we connecting? Are we connecting, Brian? And Sam has got witnessing and witnessing and witnessing and witnessing. And we go to church. And my dad got the call. He got the call. He got the call. And our life went upside down from that point on. We were in church Sunday morning, Sunday school, Wednesday Bible studies. We were going to the potlucks. I remember my dad was reading the Bible in the bathtub. He couldn't get enough of the Bible. And my life changed. Bam! Because he got the call. He got the call. Wait a minute. God wasn't done then.
I was in third or fourth grade. I was in a small church in the hills of West Virginia. I could drive you to that church right now. I could point on the side of the hill and show you where that church is. I visited where that was to make sure that I knew where it was. And I remember sitting on a Tuesday night. Either in third or fourth grade. Can't remember which grade because I never went to the same school 1 year in my life. Different kindergarten, different first grade, different second grade, different third grade, different fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade, ninth grade, tenth grade, 11th grade. And in my senior year, we moved again. In the middle of my senior year. I can't remember third or fourth grade. I got a call in a church on a Tuesday night. And I was saved. God called me into a relationship with himself. The preacher was preaching on Jesus. He was preaching about hell. He was preaching the gospel, Sam. He was preaching, preaching, preaching. And I said, I'm a sinner. I got to get saved. I don't want to go to hell. The way that preacher was describing hell, I'm like, no way, that is not for me. No way. Yes, I knew I was a sinner. I knew I was a spoiled, rebellious brat. I got whoopings. I was a sinner. That's back when the parents could whip you. I mean, there was no problem whatsoever. I got whippings. I mean, I got a whipping in school in seventh grade. I'm telling you right now, they just whipped you. Right in the classroom in seventh grade, I'm putting my hands on the desk, and this guy's pulling off the paddle off the wall, and had holes drilled in the paddle to get more air speed. Right there in the classroom, it's not kidding. Seventh grade. So I knew I was a sinner. I knew that I was rebellious, selfish. That was me. And I got a call. What's the call? It's the supernatural work when God the Holy Spirit speaks into your ear and moves from your mind to your heart and you believe the gospel. You believe that you're a sinner. You believe that God sent his only begotten Son to die on the cross for your sins. Not for anybody else's sins, for your own sins. You okay back here? You sure? Because we're talking about the single most important thing on the planet. And you're doing everything you can to keep him from paying attention. No, she's not. You're distracted? Are we good? Good. Okay. Is that what you're saying? Why?
Because we're only talking about the most important thing on the planet. Either this is real or it's not, right? If it's not, then it's no big deal. If it is real, then it's the most important thing on the planet. Would you agree with that idea or not?
If it's not real, then we can just forget about it and go home. But if it is real, in other words, Jacqueline, if hell is really hell, as described in the Bible, if it's really what it is, like if the truth in this book is really truth, then there's nothing more important for us to talk about. So once you've got the call, this is called, Paul says, now start living it out. Start acting like the person that got called. That's the calling. So now all we're going to look at the rest of the few words next to it right there. Would you go back to the verse with me? Walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. And now I just want to look at a few more words there, and then we're done. With all what? Humility. Humility. Why am I walking with humility if I got the call? Why do I walk with arrogance if I got the call? Why should I walk with humility? Why don't I walk with arrogance? Why? Somebody, I need you to tell me. Help me connect with this. Why is he saying walk with humility if I got the call? Why can't I walk with pride? Look, I'm chosen. I got the call. That's right. Because it's all grace. It's all grace. Think with me for just a minute. Because I've contemplated this more than once. I've thought to myself, what if my dad didn't move to West Virginia? You don't know how many times I've thought about the idea, what if my dad didn't move to West Virginia? What if we'd stayed in Massachusetts? Because in Massachusetts, he wasn't meeting any Christians. Massachusetts was much different than West Virginia. In West Virginia, there were Christians everywhere. There were churches everywhere. In Massachusetts, it was nothing but Roman Catholic churches. That's all he knew. And my dad was not interested in the Roman Catholic Church whatsoever. So I thought to myself, what if we went to West Virginia? How would my dad have come to Christ? And if my dad didn't come to Christ, how would I have come to Christ? Wait a minute. Hold on. What if you were born in Afghanistan? How many of you can say today, Pastor Sean, I picked my parents? I kind of was looking for this, and I wanted this, and I picked my parents. Do you remember picking your parents? Do you remember picking your parents?
You didn't?
No.
How about yourself? So, Tito has grown up in the academy all his life. What if Tito was born to a native of Australia and all he's heard his entire life is mysticism, demons, spirits, mysticism? He's never heard the gospel a single time. How's he going to get the call? What I'm trying to show you is, you didn't pick your mom and dad, right? You chose your kid with a brother if you had a choice. I don't like it. I'm going to take your parents. Would you pick her as a sister?
Aww.
Which is it? Because your head's going all over the place, man. Oh, man, that's that deadlock. I'm not committing anything. Look at that look. Did you see that look? That's a sinner look right there. That was like, I will kill you if you don't look the right way. Thank you. That's a good illustration right there, why we all need to be saved. Amen. We have sin in our hearts. Think with me for just a minute, Shelby, if you'd have different parents. Pick any other location. Pick anywhere. Lots of places where you've never heard the gospel. Lots of places. Not one time would you heard the gospel. And here you are tonight. Here you are tonight. God has brought you here. You're at Green Baptist Academy. You're going to this thing called GAD. God has brought you here. God's brought you from Germany. God's brought you from all over the world. God's brought you from China. God's brought you from Korea. God has brought you and brought you and brought you.
that you sit in your seat with your attitude and sulk about that. Instead, ponder a deep thing for just a moment. Ponder a deep... You're mature. You're becoming adults. Ponder a deep thing for just a moment. Ponder. Contemplate something deep. Don't be so shallow that you can't think of something deep.
How deep, Pastor Sean? There's a God in heaven who knew me before I was created and conceived in my mother's womb, and He has orchestrated my entire life to lead me to this decisive moment where I'm going to be at Lake Waccamaw in a room full of other people sitting in a blue chair like this, and God, the Holy Spirit, is going to say, believe! Think about that. Would you contemplate it for just a moment? It's a little pitter-patter. It's fine. It's rain. No big deal. Don't let it distract you from the moment. We're pondering the idea, has God orchestrated this entire plan to bring me to that seat where I'll hear the call? Now, if you say, Pastor Sean, I've already had that call. I know beyond a doubt I've had that call. I'm just like you, Pastor Sean. I've had that call. I know I'm part of the call. Are you with me? I'm asking you right now. You know for sure I have been in that seat and I've had a call. I've got a legitimate call from God the Holy Spirit. You cannot convince me otherwise. I heard His voice. I got a call. Then you're over here. What chair is this?
Pauline.
Pauline?
Yeah.
Having recognized that God called you into a relationship with Himself, start living the calling out. Start living it out. And live it out with all one, humility. What's the next thing? Look back at your Bible. What's the next thing? First thing is humility. What's the next thing?
Gentleness.
Gentleness. Gentleness. Why humility?
Because you called me. I didn't just... You called me.
Me?
I mean, that's what Paul never got over the fact that he got called. Never.
I was persecuting the church, and you called me, Lord? I am one of hundreds of thousands of students in Germany, and you called me to come to America so that I can hear the gospel? You called me, Lord? You called me? You getting the idea? You getting it? So I'm going to walk with all humility and gentleness. What's next?
Patience.
Why should I be characterized with patience? Why in the world should I be patient? Why should I be gentle? Why should I be humble? Because God has saved me. Maybe He hasn't saved you yet. 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 So I want to see you come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I'm going to be patient as God does the work in your life. I can't be arrogant because God called me into this relationship, Sam. Not because of anything I've done, but because of His grace. And I've got to be patient because I'm an object of His grace in a world that's fallen. So humility, and then what was the second one? Gentleness, and the third one was what?
Patience.
Alright, what's the fourth?
Love.
Forbearing one another in what?
Love.
Alright, so we're almost done, aren't we? Isn't that just about the end of it?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're just about done. Let's just talk about this last thing. What's the seat?
Love.
For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, right? So God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So God loved and gave His Son so that I could get a call, could become part of the call. God demonstrated His love to us. God commended His love to us, Romans 5:8. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. Now let's remember, Hindus have nobody dying for them. Buddhists have nobody dying for them. Muslims have nobody dying for them. None of that. Jews have nobody dying for them. It is only in Christianity that what? There's a God who dies for humanity. Only.
Do not think for a minute that the all world religions are equal. Do not think that for a minute. They are not the same. They are not the same. If you try to create them all as pluralistic and same, you completely miss Christianity. You don't understand Christianity. You're ignorant. You need to be taught what Christianity is all about. Because Christianity is about a God who chose the people before the foundation of the world and then sent his only begotten Son so that they could believe the gospel by faith, and to make sure they believe the gospel by faith, he called them into a relationship with himself. You try. Have I explained it fairly well? Well enough? Okay. So, number one was what? Humility. Number two was what? Number three was what? And four is going to be love. Yeah. Forbearing one another in love. All right. What does it mean to forbear? Come on, somebody else, tell me. What does it mean to forbear?
Nurture.
Okay, it's a little bit more than that.
Maybe showing someone I love when it helps me.
Ah, now we're getting on the right track. What if I substitute forbearing for putting up with? Forbearing. Tolerating. Dealing with. We have this problem in the school everywhere. I'm not going to shy away from our problems and pretend we don't have problems. We have two groups of sinners in this room. Two groups of sinners. Can anyone tell me what our two groups of sinners are in this room? We have two groups of sinners in this room. We're just going to classify just two groups of sinners. Can anyone tell me what they are? Mr. Farmer.
Saved and unsaved.
Yeah. We have sinners that are saved, but they're still sinners. And then we have sinners that are lost. Now the reason we're struggling on a soccer field is because we're not forbearing one another in love. Look. Let's be real. If I was on the soccer team, if I was like the number 11, is it 11? Is that the right number? 11. On the field?
11 on the field.
11 on the field, right?
11 on the field.
Yeah, one in the goal and another 10 other playing kickball, right? No, sorry. Sorry.
You were right.
Listen, I wouldn't be the best athlete. That you'd be cussing at me. Because that's what happens, Mr. Wilson. That's what happens. We're not winning. We get angry when we're not winning. Agree or disagree? We get angry when we're not winning. Can we find out to be true about us? How also do we get angry when we're not winning? And so we stop forbearing with one another in love. So we get angry because they can't do this and this, and they can't do it just the way, and they can't place the ball exactly. They don't have the athletic ability that you do. Like, I would never make the travel baseball team, okay? They would laugh me out of the... What are you here for? Because I don't have athletic ability. People come to a basketball game to laugh at me. It's true. I'm not exaggerating. They do. They pay money. They give money to laugh at me. They put me out on the field and then they humiliate. Not field. Cornfield. You understand? See what I'm saying? So I don't have athletic ability. So if I was on the team and I made mistakes, you would have to forbear with me in
love.
Because you would recognize God didn't gift him that way. God didn't gift him that way. God didn't gift him that way. What happens when we come to school and we have attitudes and we have bad days and we're just rude and we're inconsiderate and we're just struggling? Well, we have two choices. We can cuss each other out, or we can forbear one another in love. We can be gentle, we can be patient, we can be kind, we can tolerate. We don't know what's going on. You come to school in the morning, you come to school in the morning, you come to school, three guys right here come to school in the morning. We don't know what happened in their house that night. We don't know what their parents were fighting about that night.
We don't know what's going on in their lives. We don't know how difficult their life is, do we? We don't know. We don't know whose dad is an alcoholic. We don't know whose mom is, fill in the blank. We don't know what they're going through. So all of us who have been called need to live out our calling by forbearing with one another in
love.
We recognize that we've been called by grace into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Our sins are forgiven and inherits the purchase for us in heaven. And so we're going to live at that out with humility and gentleness and patience and love forbearing one another. Yes, we lost the game because you can't play soccer, but it's okay, it's just a game. Now that's a mark of maturity. And we're not there yet, are we, student body? We're not there yet, are we, soccer team? No, we're not. Winning is more important than living out the gospel right now. So we're out there claiming to be Christians and cussing at each other. Tell me if I'm wrong. So all of you that have authentically gotten called, you've authentically got the call. I'm not talking about your decision back in third grade. I'm talking about an authentic call. If you would say to me, Pastor Sean, I've been in the seat, I've got the call, the greater degree that you start living out your calling is the greater degree to which we believe is real.
Amen.
But if everyone who says, I got the call, if I am a jerk all the time, everywhere, and I never apologize, and I never get things right, then you're like, you're a fraud. You're a joke. I don't know why you're even here. That's a stupid story you told. Get out of my face. You know what? You're right to call me that, because I'm a hypocrite. But if I'm honest and true and genuine with my calling, because I've been called, then you ought to contemplate what makes Sean Harris different. Why is there a 52-year-old man giving up 3 days of his life when he doesn't have to come down and hang out with us? What does he believe that I don't believe? What does he come to realize that I haven't come to realize? Is there any chance that God has really brought me from Korea to Fayetteville so that I can get saved? Is there any chance that God has brought me from China to Fayetteville so I can get saved? Is there any chance that mom and dad moved me from that Christian school to this Christian school and I've never heard the gospel explained like this before so that I can get saved? Should I be listening for the call? Should I go out in the field and say, God, call me? Should I get down tonight before I go to bed and everyone else is asleep and I'm not going to lose any cool points? Should I get down on my knees and say, God, if you're real, call me? Should I give a second thought to the idea that maybe I've just been professing a call and I'm not really called? Should I get down on my knees tonight and honestly say, God, did you call me? Have you called me? Did I get a real call? God, if you haven't called me, call me. God, I'm ready. Call me. Would you think about that tonight? Would you think about that tonight? Ryan, would you just contemplate it? Would you make the commitment between me and you that you contemplate what I presented? Just contemplate it. Do you think that former student thought that at 38 years old he'd be dead? Do you think that he thought, I'd probably die at 32? No. Nobody thinks they're going to die at 38. Nobody does. We live to be 70 and 80 in today's world. We have all kinds of modern medication. Nobody dies early. He did. Will you pray with me right now? Would you pray with me? Would you bow your head and pray with me?